Welcome to the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. We are so excited to welcome you on this journey to amplify your impact, skyrocket your business, and change lives through the power of your unique story. Be sure to listen to the daily prayer along with the speaker sessions and participate in the daily challenge to receive not just inspiring information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And don't forget to download the free gifts provided by each speaker, which is an opportunity to go deeper on what they shared. Enjoy this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this session of the Power of Your Story Summit. I'm excited for the guest speaker that I have coming up today. It's actually someone that is brand new to me, so I always like to meet new people. It is Melody Fox, and she was introduced to me through actually another speaker that's on the summit, Sherry Ward. So I'm super excited to have a conversation with Melody today. Melody Fox is passionate about teaching with more than 30 years of working with preschoolers to high schoolers to college and adults. She loves equipping people to live out their God-inspired dreams. As a writing coach, author, and editor for Square Tree Publishing, Melody combines practical experience with spirit-filled wisdom. Musician, songwriter, and recording artist, she adds squirrel whispers to her list of accomplishments. Welcome to the summit, Melody.
Well, thank you, Nadine. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So I always like to start off every session with just sharing a fun fact or interesting thing about the speaker. We heard about how amazing you are. And I was curious about this squirrel whisperer because I read that. And when it says she adds squirrel whisperer to her list of accomplishments, my curiosity piqued. So I will have to ask about that. Maybe that's the interesting fact. I don't know.
There you go.
So would you share?
Yes, that's a super interesting story because you mentioned Sherry Ward a few minutes ago. We were at a book event in LA. LA and Los Angeles every year has a huge booksellers, book writer, author event, and it's just huge. So we were there together and we were listening to an author speak, and I saw a squirrel, you know, over near a tree. And I just love animals of all kinds. I lived on the East Coast for a while in Vermont and had a farm with cows and horses and chickens and everything. So I saw him over there and I just started, you know, making a clicky sound and trying to encourage him. He ran all the way over to me. And, you know, Sherry's watching me out of the corner, right? And I had a little granola bar and I broke off a little piece and I'm like feeding him right next to me. And then he just got it and then he went off and she's like, "You're the squirrel whisperer. How did you do that?" Because the place was packed with people, you know, but because I just love animals. So that became kind of a funny little story between us because I just love animals. And yeah, so anyways, that's my little story, but yeah.
I love that. That's definitely interesting and a fun fact. So there we go. It stood out for me as I read your bio and it turned out to be your fun fact and interesting story. So thank you for sharing that. So as you know, this summit is all about the power of your story. Everyone has a story. You know, everyone is unique and different and has a story that could be shared. But I'd love for you to tell us, why do you feel that someone's story is powerful? Why is that something we should even have a summit about?
Gosh, well, story is powerful. If we look at the Bible and we see Jesus telling stories, because stories come from us, and because we are spiritual beings and creative, that's where life comes from, is from our story, because our story is our life. And it just makes a greater impact. You can tell somebody information how to do something, but the minute that you tell a story, or the minute you begin to explain how you did something or how it affected you, something shifts. Even actually scientifically, it shifts, because when you are telling a story and you're creating these images, you actually form dual pathways in someone's brain, and they can actually grasp or learn a concept quicker, and it remains longer and it becomes something stronger. So that's really the heart, is no matter what you're writing, no matter what genre, it could be a how-to book, it could be nonfiction, fiction. If you include story, it is going to elevate what you're trying to get across, your message, in a way that nothing else will.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good melody. And that example is probably the best storyteller ever when we talk about Jesus, right? When he was on earth and all the stories that he told and how he captured everyone's attention was definitely through that storytelling. So that biblical example of Jesus is so true and so important. And also the scientific side that you shared, just knowing in our brains understand, remember, can receive stories better than just plain information. And as you were sharing that, it reminded me of a conference that I went to several years ago. And the young lady, I think it was Christy Wright, actually, her name comes to mind. Christy Wright, she was a personality through Dave Ramsey's
Oh.
company. And I was at the conference and she was sharing a story, and she actually told quite a few stories in her session. And she shared a story about, how she was very fearful. She was at, I think, a cabin writing her next book or writing something, and she heard noises, and she talked about how our mind can just like make up these things and make us turn crazy. And I always remember that story. In that session, she probably gave us tips on how to be successful in business. She probably had, recommendations, but I always remember the stories that she shared because it was funny, it was relatable, and it's something that I took away from her session. So when you were sharing that, I was like, oh yeah, I definitely have some examples of that where I remembered the person's story more than the information, even as good as it was, that they probably shared in that session, that they were in that particular conference. So
And
it's
here's
so
the
true.
interesting thing about what you just shared, Nadine. As soon as you shared that story that you remembered, immediately a story comes back to my mind of an incident that was very fearful. And the end result of that was something totally crazy. It had nothing to, but my mind thought that there was this creature in my room scratching my book. I
Yes,
mean, I took my room. And as soon as you did that,
exactly.
I made the connection. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When a story is
Yeah.
shared, it's not just that your mind is creating these dual pathways. Now I invest in you because it connects to something in me. Now we're connected.
Yeah, so the power of story is also the power of connection, as we just realized and just highlighted for sure. So I'd love for you to also share in this particular session, we're talking about the art of storytelling. And there's actually an art to storytelling. Yes, you can tell a story, but when there's a certain way and an art that you tell it, it makes a difference. So why do you think it's important to understand the art of storytelling?
Well, as all of us know, we've probably sat down next to somebody at an event and they begin talking about something and they just, sorry to say, sometimes drone on with facts or information that doesn't really relate to what they're trying to eventually, the point they're trying to get to. And we lose interest. And especially in today's world where you have all these sound bites or these texts. I mean, you want to be able to capture someone's attention and you want to be able to relay the information that you feel is most important, but in a way that you're going to keep that reader going. I mean, all of us have sat through a movie to where we're like looking at our watch saying, how much longer is this movie going? Something went wrong. And we all also have done the opposite where we're like, oh my gosh, 2 hours went by, that was so fast. So there is an art to it, and it is important because I believe every person's story matters. And I believe that if they were telling it to you in a way that utilized techniques that they would keep you captive, they would relay information, they would change who you are in some way inside. And they could have told it another way and you would never even remembered it. So is their story not rememberable? Oh, absolutely not. All of our stories are important, but it's presentation again.
Yeah, that's so important because, like you said, it's about engaging the audience, right? And engaging, like sometimes I watch a show and it's like you don't feel connected to the characters. It was like something was missing. Nothing really drew you in to be committed to the story or committed, like what's going to happen to her or what's going to be next. They didn't tell the story in a way that it made it engaging, that you're interested in it. So there's definitely an art to be able to draw people in and make people interested and engaged and wanting to know what happens next, or they're invested in the character of that
Absolutely.
particular story. So the art of storytelling is definitely important. And that's why your topic is important, because now you're going to share with us how to tell a great story. So it's not just a matter of knowing it's important to tell a good story and that there's an art to it, but you're actually going to break it down for us and tell us how to tell a great story. So how do you tell a great story?
All right, thanks for asking. And just in case there's somebody out there saying, well, my information is so important. Why do I need to attach a story? I still want to just encourage you that story is important. And I just want to encourage you in two books that just came to my mind when I was thinking of this event. One is a 1902 novel that's over 120 years ago, called That Printer of Udell by Harold Bell Wright. And why I'm mentioning this particular story is an 11-year-old boy whose father was an alcoholic and absent most of the time, and in poverty, felt that his life was basically going nowhere. He reads this book, and by story, this story is describing how this printer gives this boy a chance and then mentors him. So in some ways, it's an instructional book, but it's masked or it's woven within a story, right? This makes such an impact on this 11-year-old boy that one day he becomes, after fostering this belief that good can overcome evil, President of the United States and ranked ninth by C-SPAN. This is Ronald Reagan. So the power of story, I have to just hit that again, how important it is. And the story does not have to be something that everyone remembers. I had never heard of this book before I read this, and it was important. I bought the book, it's over 100 years old, but the impact that it made is just huge. And it doesn't have to be a book, like I said, that's fictional or your memoir. Another book that comes into mind, one of my absolute favorites, is called The Traveler's Gift. And this actually is a book about seven decisions that determine personal success. Sounds boring. Okay, do I want to read a book? Seven decisions. But this story begins with this guy who's facing so much tragedy. Everything is going wrong, lost his job, his family. He doesn't know how he's going to even stay in his house. He gets in this car accident. And then the writer uses this for him to have this travel back in time type of thing to seven important historical figures right at the moment that they're making a decision that is going to change the direction of their life. And through that, through watching these little snippets of stories, he's able to put these in his life, these seven decisions. I love this book. I would never have picked up a book about seven decisions that would change your life. Never. But this is basically a how-to book, but it used stories. So I just had to encourage the audience that, please consider story. It is so
Yes.
important. So having said that, okay, so
And I just
what
wanted to
do,
add,
yes.
I'll add on to what you said. Number one, thank you for sharing those books. I'm always looking for books to read. I think I have over 100 books on
Yeah.
Amazon's to buy list, right? So I'll probably go back and add those two to the list of 100 that I already have on there. But books can be can be so powerful and impactful. That example that you gave with Ronald Reagan and how just one message from a book can be, like for me, one book that really shifted my mindset was Think and Grow Rich. It's like after I read that book, it was like, oh my God, I looked at everything around me and realized, oh my gosh, everything around me started with a thought. Someone had a thought for this lamp. Someone had a thought for this television. And now it is a thing, right? So that really honed in the concept, which was kind of unbeknownst to me before reading the book, that thoughts are things. And everything that we see was actually a thought that someone thought before it became a thing, right? So Think and Grow Rich made a difference in my life and the story. And the point of view and what was shared in that book. So I love that you gave two books that were powerful and impactful for you and can be powerful and impactful for our listeners, and the example of how a great story can make a difference. You know, it really can. So thank you for that. So
I
now,
love that. Yeah. I love that.
So how
Okay,
to tell
so
a great story.
yeah, so what you need is you need your story to stick. You need to make what I call a sticky story, a story that we're going to remember. And one of the ways to do that is for you to be vulnerable. I know that sounds kind of odd up front to say, to be a little transparent, but you have to make a decision to be willing to share hard things. You must not make the reader feel sorry for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. So there's a balance here. They can't pity you, but they have to identify with you. So when you come to your story, you have to make that commitment from the beginning. I need to be vulnerable. That doesn't mean every single thing in your closet has to come out, or if you're writing a business book that you have to dig deep into, your marriage being destroyed or something like that. But what I'm saying is you do have to come with a vulnerability. I think oftentimes authors come thinking, I'm going to put on my writer's headset and I'm going to write like a writer. And they get in this zone that they don't realize that they're creating what I call distance language. They're choosing words that create a distance between them and the reader. So if you're going to write a really great story, you need to make that commitment to say, I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to treat my reader as if they're across the table having a cup of coffee with me and I want to relate this information. And that's the way we write. Now, the writing process, as you probably well know, is definitely a process. You don't write one day and then the whole thing is done and you publish it the next day. It goes in different kinds of cycles. And one is you have to allow the free writing to come out of you. You have to allow that vulnerability, not worrying about editing, not worrying about where you're going at this moment, and allow those concepts to just kind of pour out of you. That's a part of it, and that's a huge part of it that you can come back to later to edit and sculpt. But you have to make that commitment that what are you willing to share? What's your message? I mean, that's huge. If I'm going to write a story and I want to convince people to buy my product, well, then I have to be able to show the reader that I had a need or a lack. I can't say, I got to sell them this because I'm going to make a bunch of money out of it. You have to say, why did I have this thing in the first place? Or why did I create this object in the first place? Because I had a need. What does that need? And bring us to that moment. So vulnerability is huge. You have to connect with the audience, and the only way you can do that is that they see that you're a flawed individual. If you're writing a fictional story, that's the number one thing of your characters. You're supposed to create a character that is flawed. If your character is too perfect, people will not relate. And I know it sounds really odd. I've once said this, and it sounds like kind of a crazy thing, but we really don't relate to one another on our holiness or our perfectness. We relate to one another on our humanness. And that's the connection. Sometimes we even secretly despise people that are perfect because we think, oh, they're too perfect. They don't understand, or it's easy for them. I hate those books that say, well, I was really going through a hard time, and then suddenly I met this thing or this, and then everything changed. I want to know what happened on day two or 27 or 491. You know, it didn't happen overnight. So you have to be vulnerable to share. So when you come to your writing, be vulnerable. Number two, you really need to develop the concept of showing and not telling. So often we want to tell the reader, this happened, that happened, the other happened. We want to engage emotions because if we can engage emotion, that's what changes all of us. That's what moves us to change and moves us to make decisions. And you see this, you know, when the commercial comes on for the animal shelter and we see the animals. Oh, it's like we're moved by emotion. And so you want to show your reader how you're feeling. You do that by using your senses. How is your face looking when you're having some dialogue rather than I felt sad, a tear formed in my eye, or my brow raised in a worried furrow. You know, I mean, you have to be able to use showing type languages. And I say that because by experience, when I was in college, and I was a decent college student because I could ink fish anything. That's what my word is like. Okay, give the teacher what they want. But I took a class, and this book was given to me called Telling Writing by Ken McCrory. And it just changed my world because it got me to write from emotion, to sit down. And this is something I do on a regular basis that has nothing to do with the book I'm working on. And I encourage anyone out there, if you want to develop the skill of showing, not telling, you're sitting here, maybe you're looking out at the beautiful view or whatever's going on, and you just start to describe how you're feeling, the birds or the cup of coffee or the steam coming off the cup. And you just try to fill a page. You don't try to go anywhere. And this will develop those skills. So I encourage you, if you're writing or you're like, how do I do it? She says show but not tell, but what does that really look like? This is something that you want to work on, that muscle memory of doing this. So be vulnerable, show not tell.
Well, I
Put the
want to talk a
reader,
little bit
yes.
about that show not tell because
Sure.
that example that you gave, like, I was nervous, very generic, very general, right? And people probably would write that every time in a story, I was nervous. But when you said, like, as I leaned in, my heart was beating and my brow started to sweat, whatever it was that you used an example. I felt more vested. I felt more engaged. I
Yes.
felt the emotion of it. So I think it's such a powerful tip that I don't want it to escape people listening to this session about the difference of really showing that emotion and not just telling the emotion. And if you are nervous, what does that look like? What does that feel like? And how can you write those words to make the story more engaging? So I love that tip that you gave. I think that's powerful.
Yeah, it really is key. And don't be afraid to make a mistake. So many writers I work with and I coach, they think they have to get it all right the first time. No writer gets it right the first time. No novelist that has produced number one bestsellers decades ever gets it right the first time. It is a process. So, you know, be forgiving of yourself because you're getting into a realm. Maybe this isn't your normal way of being descriptive or talking. Maybe you're not. I'm not saying be super flowery. There is always a balance. You must find what your natural voice is. Nobody is a robot. So if you ever talk to anyone and you get to that point where they're kind of vulnerable, and maybe this happened to you before, you sat down with a friend and somehow everything was just open and you thought you could just pour out your heart. You're not a robot. You were descriptive. I know you were, because we're all made in God's image. So that is there. So you might not be as descriptive as the next person who loves to use 12 different adjectives, but I know you have more than just, I was sad, I was sad, I was sad. Now, the very first book I ever edited, the author was like that. I was mad, I was sad. And she wrote her memoir and it was 25 pages long. That's really short. And in it included attempted suicide by herself, and then Jesus appears to her. There's some stuff here. I'm like, what? So this actually, she helped develop my editing style because I would be ask her questions. Now, I got her to triple that book. It was only still 75 pages, which is short, but I got her to triple it by asking questions and to get her to feel, because she resisted. But I don't talk that way. I don't talk that way. But I wanted to know more as the reader. I'm like, please tell me when Jesus appeared to you and you're almost going to kill yourself in the bathroom. I mean, I wanted to know more details. And then they came out, but they came out as we were talking. So I know that every person out there, no matter what your style is, you have the ability to show, not tell. It's there. But you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable, even with yourself, and allow it to flow on paper and not worry what it's going to look like. Is it right? Is it wrong? You want to get that flow going. That's why I always do these free writing exercises, because it helps. It really does help, so that you can become better and better. The book you write today, it wouldn't be the book you write 5 years from now or the book 10 years from now, because you're continuously growing. And you know that any project you ever jumped into, you look back and go, well, I would do it differently today. Because we are growing and developing. So, you know, allow yourself that room, but don't let that stop you. Get in front of the computer or however you write and just start showing, not telling. Look, how could you do that? Look out the window and just start the breeze, the sky. Well, I mean, start somewhere, but it is really key. It is really key.
Yeah. And I like the questions. It's like, okay, well, how were you nervous? Or how did that make you feel? Like, those questions going deeper allows you to be more flowery if that's not the general way that you talk. So I think, again, that's another good tip. And if it seems to be very rigid, I don't know if that's the right word, like, I am nervous, I am mad, this is bad, right? Stop and say, okay, well, how was it bad? Or how did it make me feel? And that allows you to move from rigid to flowery, right? Or at least more descriptive, at least, right?
Yes.
So I love
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, you know, your audience may not be someone else's audience. Recently, I picked up a Ernest Hemingway book, one of the greatest writers of all time. I couldn't get very far, but I put it down. It just didn't, it was hard for me to get into, because his style was just not my style. But you know what? That's okay. That doesn't mean, oh gosh, he was a bad writer or this was his worst book. It just means that your audience will connect with you. That's why it's important to find your voice within this. As you're showing, not telling, as you're being vulnerable, find your voice, your stride, and then it will start to become very, very natural to you. And you'll really look forward to writing. Next is just, you got to put the reader first. And I mentioned that earlier. Sometimes we don't put the reader first. We think we are, but we're putting our message and how we can hammer that forward. The book's got to sell, or it's got to be trendy, or it's got to fit into all these boxes, the average word count, the average word. And we've missed the reader. The reader needs to be number one. The reader is your friend, that one person that you might totally transform their life. Now, another little short fact about me is how I became a Christian, how I got saved. I got saved literally by listening to a song on a record. Yeah, it is a record, so that dates me a little bit. No one else was there. I listened to the song. I realized I didn't have what this person was singing about, and it was a little story about this person. She was trying to call this person on the phone. They couldn't get a hold of you. Where are you? Don't you know that Jesus is there for you? I breathed out, being very bummed about it. When I breathed back in, Jesus was in my heart. The simple lyric of the song brought me to salvation. Your book, it could be a how-to, it could be a business, it could be anything. But when you're sharing something about you, and that reader starts to think, gosh, why did she say that? Or what is that? It's going to sow that seed, and maybe they won't get saved right at that moment, but you are going to shift someone's belief system inside. And even if it's just something that nags at them after they close the book and go, I'm not agreeing, but I don't understand what they might be arguing with you, but you are doing something within them. And I'll tell you what, that's worth all the book sales in the world. The album that I happened to listen to, it wasn't a number one bestseller or anything like that, but that song transformed me, and I'll never forget that. That's how I came into the kingdom. So if you think in that way, your reader is that one person that you're going to transform with your product, with your story, with whatever it is that you're trying to relay, that's going to make a huge difference in the way that you write. So keep the reader first.
Yeah, love that.
Now I'm going to throw in a practical plug in here. Okay. So those are kind of my three main points. There's a lot of little things that you can do, a lot of little techniques. And I'm going to give you one, maybe two here that will be very helpful. A practical plug-in. Don't always start at the beginning of your story. I get people all the time. I was born in 1980 and blah, 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 blah. They start at the very beginning of their story, right? Don't do that. This is very common knowledge. I didn't invent this tip, but throw the reader into the thick of things. Just throw the reader right into it. And in doing so, you can always back off and begin to, like a camera almost, get a wider angle of things. But once you throw them in, you get them hooked. And I'm going to tell you one of my very favorite of all time book starters. It's an old book, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. He starts his story like this: Marley was dead. Ba-da-dum. There's no doubt about that. Marley was dead. That's how he starts the story. The story wasn't
Right.
necessarily about Marley, it was about Scrooge and his transformation. But you have a death right away. And now you're like, how did this person die? You're giving the reader the right questions. There's wrong questions and right questions. Readers have wrong questions when they're saying, I don't understand what's going on, and they want to scroll back and see what's going on. The right questions are, oh my gosh, what happened? Or was it this? Oh no, it was that. Or what's going to happen next? You want the reader to have dialogue as they're going along, and just throw the reader into the mix of it. There's a lot of ways you could do it. You could do it simply with a statement like this. You could do it with dialogue. That's another great way to start a story, is have a conversation. One of my college classes, when I entered that particular college class, I had taken a test, barely made it to get into this higher level class. So what is the first thing the teacher says? Like, well, I just want to let you know you're an underdog, and you may have to really work on this. The very first writing assignment I wrote for him, here, I started with his quote. Well, the teacher instructor said, you're an underdog, you may have to really work on this, but and I started there and then drew them in of what that was all about. So throw the reader into the thick of things. You can start with dialogue. You could start with something funny. Sometimes books start with an actual very funny or amusing thing. Those are all great ways to start a chapter, to start a book, and then start to back off. And think of each one of your chapters almost like little mini books. They're going to plug like Legos into the next one, but they have to all kind of have a fun or an interesting or a throw us in way of starting, and kind of leave the reader wanting a little bit more at the end. Don't try to solve every single thing. A lot of readers, because they're giving information, they want to go with this old adage, and it is good, but not necessarily for writing. Tell the reader what you want to tell them. Tell them again. Tell them what you told them. It's like, well, maybe if you're speaking at some kind of an event or something, but when you're writing, the reader already knows. And when you hit the nail on the head a little bit too much, it just smacks of, you're not very smart reader, so I need to tell you this for the 29th time. Let the reader, give them some credit. They can put two and two together and equals four. You don't need to tell them, well, 2 + 2 = 4. You don't need to say that.
Right. Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that. And I love those examples, those practical examples that you gave, because Marley was dead, or Marley is dead, whatever the sentence was, immediately draws you in. What happened to Marley? Who is Marley? What's happening next? Why is, so it's definitely a way to pull your audience in. Again, it's about being engaging. So I love that not starting at the beginning and starting at a key point in a story can actually pull your audience in and engage them more. I think that's a really great practical tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some things that I share with you, and some things not to do, as a warning. Be careful on your facts. Facts can get in the way, and I don't mean make up a lie. I just mean sometimes we have a lot of extra facts. Sometimes a lot of things happen on the way of our story, but they don't all move the story forward. And a great writer once said, sometimes you have to sacrifice your darling, so to speak. Well, but that was a good story, or this was an important fact. But what is your main goal of writing this book? And that's something you'll have to sit down and figure out for yourself. Why am I writing this book? And what is the one thing I want the reader to walk away with? There may be other things that they walk away with, but you really have one main goal of what you're wanting them to walk away with. And everything should lead them on that path. Anything else that derails from that is like a rabbit trail. And it may be a very interesting one, but your reader will forget. And remember, your reader is number one. Your reader is the most important thing. So you want to drive them to that point. So be careful of filling up with facts, even though they really did happen. Don't let them get in the way of what your story is, because that's huge. Your audience will miss the point. And they might have thought it was a great book. It's amazing how many people read a book and go, oh, that was a really good book. But when you start to talk to them about it and you start to pull out things, you will find they might say, well, I understood where they were kind of going with that. So I just pulled out what I wanted to. But do you really want the reader to do that? That's not a great story. It'll still sell, but that's not a great story. That won't transform lives. Your goal here is to transform lives, it is to sell that product and alter someone's life. It is to give them something that is going to make them better or move them in that direction. Everything else will line up. It reminds me of this little story somebody once told me, that there was this little girl and she had a map of the United States, and her dad wanted her to learn the state. So he tore up the piece of paper and all these little puzzle type pieces and said, here, go put the puzzle together. And she came back a few minutes later, really quickly, and it was all together. And he said, how did you do that so fast? And she said, oh, well, there was a picture on the back of someone had drawn of Jesus. So I just put Jesus together and then everything else came together. And I thought, you know what? That's it. That's it. When your story, you love your story and the readers first, and you're bringing them to the goal you want them, everything else will line up. It will fit together. It will
Yeah,
fit
I
together.
love that. So good. So good. So many great tips and
Oh,
advice.
good.
Melody, love it, love it. So I want to end on this note. What one thing would you suggest to someone to step into the power of their story? There may be someone listening to this summit or listening to this particular session. They have a story in them, but there may be something holding them back. Maybe it's scared to be vulnerable, scared to be authentic, scared of being criticized, whatever it may be. What would be the one thing you would suggest to someone to step into the power of their unique story? What would that one word, phrase, maybe a thought that will be encouraging or helpful to that particular person?
Well, I'm going to say something that I probably wouldn't have said a few years back, but now after running writers groups for a long time, I'm going to have to say you have to find a group. It might be some little free group online. I mean, Squirtry has writers groups, but you have to be able to step over that fear line of sharing something with a group of people that are in the same boat they're writing and get their reaction. When I run my writer's group, one thing that we do every week is we have each person share 1 to 3 pages of what they've written on the screen. They read it out loud and then we give feedback. It is the scariest thing anyone ever does, but once they do that, something happens. I can't tell you if it's like almost like a spiritual aspect. Something is broken. Now they become almost addicted to this writing process and they're so excited about it. It breaks something. And it reminds me when I was younger, we talked about music. The Lord had given me this song once, and he wanted me to sing it in this talent show we had at church. So I'm talking years ago, right? And so many things had happened that I couldn't just automatically be in it. They changed the whole system. You have to audition. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I was waiting for this audition, and one day it just impromptu. I was in the back of this little mini chapel. There were people all over the place. And if you don't know me very well, Nadine, but I was the shyest person on planet Earth. I have a twin sister, and I used to tug on her shirt when I was a kid, and she'd speak for me. Okay. So I'm in the back of this mini chapel, and I run into the guy that's supposed to do this whole audition. He's like, well, sing for me right now. I'm like, oh my gosh. And out of the corner of my eye, there's two worship leaders I saw who just walked in, these great singers. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But the Lord just said, sing. So I just sang. It broke something in me that day. Guess what? The talent show never came off. Everything changed. It just got canceled. That never happened. But it broke something that day, some kind of fear. And that caused me to move into a different realm. So I encourage you, wherever you're at, you need to have some small group. I don't know where that might be in your life. Maybe it's poetry publishing where you reach out to us and you join a writer's group. We even have free trial cohorts so you could show up once and they're free. We sell products, you buy a product, you get it free. I mean, even if it's a one-time thing, once you share something you've written, something, you will break that fear and then everything will change after that. I encourage you to do that. God says do it afraid sometimes, you know what I mean? And once you step out and you give voice to it, it creates that thing in you. You gave voice to, I'm a writer, by sharing what you wrote and by reading it out loud. Words have
Yeah,
power.
so powerful and so true. Find a community, a place where you can feel safe and sacred to be able to share, right? To be able to share. And that can make a world of difference into stepping into the power of your story. So good, Melody Fox. Thank you so much. And I know that you guys have an offer. With that offer is the Write and Publish Masterclass series. So definitely be sure to click on the link that you see on the page to get more information and to sign up for the Write and Publish Masterclass series. And Melody, if people want to connect with you specifically, what is the best way for them to connect with you and the work that you do in the world?
Oh, well, you can reach out to squirtypublishing.com. I work closely with Sherry Ward. Like I said, I run the writers groups. And any correspondence, squaretreepublishing.com or info@squaretreepublishing.com. Both of those are great emails. And yeah, you can reach me there. Info@squaretreepublishing, squaretreepublishing.com.
Absolutely. So connect with her on the website or via the email. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Melody, and thank you so much for being a part of the Power of Your Story Summit.
Thank you for listening to this session of the Power of Your Story Virtual Summit. If you haven't already, be sure to listen to the daily prayer at the top of the page and make sure you check out the daily challenge. The challenges are specific to each category and are located at the bottom of the page. Are you thinking that you won't be able to listen to, learn from, or enjoy each of the 24 interview sessions? No worries. Simply upgrade to the Power of Your Story All Access Premium Pass. You'll get lifetime access to all 24 recordings, plus the Power of Your Story swag bag worth over $2,555. There's no better time than right now to create and promote your story and skyrocket your business, and you'll have access to the tools you need forever. Click the link to upgrade right here on the page. Thank you again, and stay tuned for the next speaker.